and it was just such a whimper. I can deal with losing, but losing that like that, and particularly to Arsenal, no, it definitely has taken a bit of the shine off the season.
I think FIFA are in a difficult position in terms of punishment because they've had such a lax attitude to punishment for things that are far more serious crimes than wearing a poppy.
And the culture that he's currently instilled in that side is one where it's okay to lose.
I read something today that said Wolves have scored more goals against the Premier League top six than Man United have.
Hello and welcome to this week's Football Fans Podcast, a podcast that gives real football fans a real voice on the sport that we love. My name is Jordan, your host, and just before I announce my panel for this week on the pod, I want to say a very big thank you to all the people that voted for my good self at the Black British Entertainment Awards. I was nominated in the Best Male TV category, and I won. I'm very, very honoured and proud to have won that award. It's a TV category, but obviously I'm a broadcaster, so I appreciate that other mediums like podcasts and radio are factored in as well. So thank you very much for that. All the listeners and subscribers, big up to all you guys that do tune in. And thank you very much to all the guys that come on the pod and make this the podcast that it is. And a very big thank you also to Tom, Joe and Dom, who also helped me in the production areas of the podcast. So thank you very much. And it's just my first panel this
week.
Well done, George. Thank you very much. Cheers.
You know what? I was going to give you a shout out, but you gave it to yourself.
Okay, we can do it again. We can start again.
No, it's all right. It's done. Congratulations, man.
Nice one, G. Yeah, that is G, our Chelsea fan. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good.
Good?
Eight wins out of 10. You know, we're good form, man. I tell you, we're hunting them down.
Yeah, okay. We've done this before. The title's done, but if you want to keep this playing this game that the title wage is still on, then we can play this game as long as you like, if it makes you feel better. We've also got down the line our Spurs regular, Ollie. What are you saying, stranger?
Yeah, it's been a time. It's been a long time, man. Yeah, I'm back.
It's been a minute, man.
I'm back. It's a shame you're bringing me back at such a low point. but what can I say? It's a shame for you, but
it's great for me, though. You're welcome. We've had some emails and tweets over the last few months. People saying, "Oh, where's the Spurs fan? Where's the angry Ollie? Where's that Tottenham fan?"
I'll be looking for him as well.
it's a strange season because we've had high points and low points. We've had the high points in the Champions League. It's kind of a role reversal from last season, isn't it? We done well in the league last season, but the Champions League we bombed badly. This season we've done well in the Champions League, but we seem to be struggling in the league. So it's been a strange one.
Well, let's get straight into them. No drive-bys this week on the pod. Let's get straight into the game of the weekend, City Spurs.
It wasn't a game of the weekend for me.
Okay, on paper. No. But everybody else, it was a great game.
Marvelous game.
Yeah. So, Ollie, man, who do you feel we learned more about? The fact that City won 4-1, Spurs losing 4-1. I know you're a Spurs fan, but who do you think as a neutral would have learned more about after that game?
I think you've got to look at the fact that Pep made a couple of changes to his team and they still managed to convincingly beat Spurs, who you would have thought might have been able to give him a better game. I know Spurs have got injury problems and, you know, their form has been a bit in and out. But the truth of it is that, you know, Pep made a few changes where you thought, oh, right, OK, City might be a bit weakened here. There might be a chance for Spurs to take hold of the game, with Gundogan coming in and Silva being out and players like that. And yet Spurs kind of found themselves way off the pace and miles off what City were able to produce. So I think you learned a little bit more about City, really. Spurs, I think it's the same old, because they've been struggling throughout the season, and it's hard to... The question you've got to ask with Spurs at the moment is, are they going through a blip at the moment, i.e. the fact that Kane, Eriksen, Ali aren't playing to the level they were last season, and they've got some notable injuries with Wanyama and Alderweireld out for lengthened periods. Is it a blip for them, or have they just been found out? it's a question that I'm kind of been turning over in my mind. I'm not kind of, I haven't really worked out which one it is at the moment, but at the moment, I do think that in a situation like this, you need to try and change what you're doing and try and change tack. And this is something that Pochettino is not the best at doing. So I'm not really sure we learned anything more about Spurs, because essentially they're doing the same old thing and expecting different results, and, you know, against the top sides, that is. And if you keep doing that, you're gonna fall by the wayside, aren't you? So they need to look at it and need to change something quick.
You mentioned Alderweireld there's been out for a couple of months now, is it? Maybe a month and a half, and he's projected to be out until in the back end of January, they were saying. And a lot of people have been saying to me that he's a massive, massive miss in that Spurs team. But you've, in this time he's been out, you have lost a few games, but you've also won quite a few games as well. So it makes me think, is his absence as pertinent as made out? Because it'd be different if he was out and then you'd lost and drawn.
Who have we beaten in that period?
Fair point. But wasn't he in the game when you lost to United? Was he in that United Old Trafford game?
He did play in that game.
Yeah. He's been in some of the big games, and you lost those games. So I'm just, is he the single biggest factor as to why the form has gone the way it's gone, do you think?
No, I don't think he's the only factor, you know.
But is he the biggest
factor? I think, you know, the fact is that I've always said to you from way back that the two important players that Spurs need to keep hold of and keep happy are Kane and Alderweireld, and nothing's really changed for me in that respect. The problem we got is that not only is Alderweireld out, but there's question marks as to how fit Harry Kane is. That's a problem for Spurs. You know what I mean? Mm. They've got a real problem there. And, you know, ever since that period, the season's really kind of hinged on that period around the games against Real Madrid, for me anyway. And I think that you look at the fact that Kane got that hamstring injury after we beat Liverpool 4-1 to the end of that game. And, you know, from that point on, the side has struggled. And Kane, as we all know, is so important to Spurs. So really, you're not just dealing with the loss of Alderweireld, but you're dealing with a possibly half-fit Harry Kane. And on top of that, you've got players like Ali and Eriksen, the support players, who aren't really doing it at the moment. So it's not really... I don't think you can easily just say it's just, oh, well, Alderweireld's been out and you've still not won the games, or Alderweireld's not been, you know, played against Man United and we lost. The fact is, Alderweireld played against Man United, but if you remember, Kane didn't play in that game.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, not only that, but I just think that, I think that Pochettino got it wrong. I think he got it wrong in the sense that I think he put so much into beating Real Madrid and that being a be-all and end-all, when actually... beating Real Madrid or playing Real Madrid at Wembley was a free hit for Tottenham. Mm. It was a free hit. We didn't have to win that game to go through. And as you've seen with the Champions League, it doesn't really matter whether you finish first or second in the group. The fact is, you know you're going to play a side in the last 16. All of them are good teams. And to come through in the Champions League, you've got to be a good team. So there's no point in thinking, oh, we got to finish first because we get a easier draw. We finished first. We ended up getting Juventus. So, you know... I don't really think that you can look at it and say, well, actually, you know, we had to put everything into Real Madrid. Of course, it looks good on Pochettino's CV. Of course, it's a big lift for the players if you beat Real Madrid. But at the end of the day, that's not going to win you the Champions League, winning that game. And it's also not going to help you finish in the top four. And I thought that, you know, that kind of focus on that Real Madrid game over and above everything else that was going on at that period was a problem, and I think it's affected the season, because if you remember, they went to Man United the weekend before the Real Madrid return game at Wembley. He didn't play Kane, he didn't play Sanchez. They went into that game against Man United, and you're just thinking, well, actually, this is a must-win game. You need to go there. Spurs need to go to a big side when they're in a situation where they have to win and show that they can actually do the job. If they don't do that, then you've got, you know, then you've got this consistent problem of not being able to win games when it matters. And Real Madrid was a game they won, yeah. I agree, but the point is they didn't have to win that game.
That wasn't the crucial game, no. Yeah. G, watching the game on the weekend, what do you think Spurs did wrong? What did they get wrong in that game? Because it finished 4-1. On paper, doesn't look very good. Ollie says that he thinks that Pochettino got it wrong tactically. What did you think they did wrong in that match?
I think their big players didn't really show up. Ali's been out. I mean, hasn't scored in what 5 or 6 games,
yeah,
or
something
while. Like that. Kane didn't look his best, although people saying that he's not fit. I think sometimes we can make a bit much of kind of formations and players. I think ultimately they didn't perform on the day, and that was the main problem. And maybe they were a bit too focused on kicking players. Then they're trying to win a game like they were a couple of years back in the Battle of the Bridge. So maybe they focus on trying to play a bit of football every now and again. They might do all right. But I think if you look at it, there were loads of times they actually did get into like good positions for, but the final ball was just bad. There's like one time when Danny Rose was in a great position where he could have just fed the player in.
And he scored it.
It just goes for a shot. Why are you doing that? Obviously trying to get something on his CV as well. Yeah. Like I just think when it got to the crucial moments, there were points that they could have punished City or at least got something out of it. But I think they just chose the wrong decision and something is not quite right there at the moment.
On Dele Alli, you mentioned him there. Do you think he has actually been as bad as it's been reported? Because I was checking some of his stats and his goal stats. I know the goals are not the be all and end all to kind of go by, but his goal stats are 7 in 22. That's not great goal scoring form, but that's not shocking either. For a midfielder, 7 in 22, what's that, 1 in 3?
Yeah,
that's not shocking. He's contributing. Are people making too much of his form? He's doing something.
His recent form, maybe.
Yeah.
Not over the season. Over the season, he's had a reasonable season. But remember, you got to remember, like, he's been sent off. You know, that challenge over the weekend wasn't great. Like, at the moment, things aren't looking good for him in the last 4 or 5 games, for instance. I know because he was in my fantasy team for a long while and he dropped off. That's usually an indicator.
Is it more that he's not contributing on the pitch? Oh, put goals to one side for a second now. Is it that on the pitch, it seems like if he's not picking up those balls in the box and scoring tap-ins and those goals, you're asking yourself, well, what does he really do?
It depends on what you judge him on. I think the panel here have talked about seeing him as a, you know, potential great central midfielder at some point. I mean, whether that point comes or not, I don't think that point is now. I think what makes Dele Alli stand out from his peers and other players is at the moment his goals and assists. And if he's not getting that, then sometimes he can look ordinary, and I think maybe that's what he's a victim of now.
Ollie, the Kevin De Bruyne goal on the weekend. One of our other Spurs regulars, Joel. We often mean him talk about how good Lloris is, and he rates him very, very highly. I slightly less so. Should he be saving that goal?
I think it was struck pretty hard, and you know, it was difficult, but I think it's one of those things where I think he could have done better. And I've said this about Lloris a lot of times, really, and you think there's not enough times where you think he gets you out of a hole. You look at what De Gea did at your place at Arsenal a few weeks back, and you think, would Lloris put in a performance like that when we're really under the cosh, pull out a few amazing saves and basically turn what would possibly be a draw into a win for you? That's a really top keeper. And I just wonder sometimes with Lloris. I mean, even with the fourth goal, you think between him and Dier, they should have mopped that up, really. And that, you know, to be honest with you, that concerned me more than the De Bruyne goal, where you're just thinking, well, Dier's lost, you know, misjudged the flight of the ball. Then it comes to Lloris and he's the last line of defence and Sterling doesn't even touch it and it goes for his legs. That's the kind of thing that happens too often. And don't forget, last season, Lloris threw two in for Man City, didn't he? So, you know, he's got form in that respect where you just think, you know, he's liable to cost you a couple of goals in a big game. So, you know, he's a good keeper, but at the same time, he's not the sort of keeper who's gonna you're gonna look back and think he's won us the game there. Do you know what I mean? With a couple of his saves, but yeah, you know, I just want to say as well, those cheap shots from Gabe about just pitiful, absolutely pitiful from Gabe. I mean, you know, you just look at him and think, well, you know, that's just one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. The game kicked Man City. I mean, if you watch Man City, the way they hunt in packs. I mean, it's interesting that Gabe has chosen to not even look at the Otamendi incident where he's plainly kicked Kane in the face. I mean, seriously, not a few weeks back, but early in the season, Mane got sent off for that. So how on earth Otamendi, you know, didn't get a red card for clearly booting Kane in the face? He booted him in the face. It wasn't like, and don't tell me it was a mistake as well. He knew what he was doing. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to do that. But I think he's done exactly what you expect from an Argentinian defender. Do, you know, basically tread the line as, you know, go as far to the line as you can in terms of defending, knowing that Kane is your man and you're going to basically do whatever it takes to stop him or get him off his game. I'm going to boot him in the face here and just basically, you know, put him off, do whatever I need to do. And he's got away with it. And I think it's terrible refereeing from Pawson. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Kane and Ali both should have been sent off as well. They were bad challenges. They should both go as well. And again, Pawson's on the spot, right? And he doesn't give it. He had three big decisions to make, and none of those calls he got right. I think that's really poor for one of these people who's supposed to be one of our top referees. And you look at it and think, these referees, every single week now, you're looking at referees and thinking to yourself, what? I don't understand how they come to these decisions. How does he come to a decision where he looks at that Kane decision and thinks, I'll give him a yellow for that? You know, seriously, you got to think that it gets to the point where players' reputations obviously go before them, because you look at the Deeney sending off, and Deeney's got a reputation and Deeney's done some stupid things, but, you know, that was harsh. I thought it was slightly harsh when you're getting sent off. But then you look at what goes on with Kane and Ali, and you just think, well, they're getting away with it there. That was bad. Those are poor decisions, and so was the Otamendi one.
I think we all agree that those three were red. We've got a referee coming on a bit later on to go through all those decisions as well. So we'll wait for Mike.
Tell your ref mate that the refs need to fix up, man, because they are useless. I think on a regular basis now, it's happening too often where you're looking at referees and the other week, I know I haven't been on the pod for a while. The other week, you listened to what Clattenburg said about the Battle of the Bridge, right? And rubbish he was coming out with. So just briefly,
Ollie, just briefly, because we did that last week. What briefly is your take on that? Because I think we all agreed that he was out of order in what he did,
I just think it's ridiculous. I just think it basically shines a light on what I've always suspected about these referees, right? They go into games with premeditated ideas or preconceived ideas about what they're going to do and how they're going to ref certain people, rather than going into a game and thinking, I'm going to judge this on... It's basically like, if someone told me, right, if you told me, Jordan, you told me about Gabe, Gabe's this kind of person or Gabe's that kind of person, right? Then I'm going to treat Gabe like you just told me he is, rather than actually come to my own decision about what I think about Gabe, yeah? If Gabe basically... For me personally, I go into every situation where I meet someone and I treat them the way that I find them. I don't go on what other people referee should be doing the same about football. You go into a game and you should judge it on its merits. You don't go into a game with a preconceived notion of how that game's going to turn out. And if you're already reffing the game in your mind before a ball's been kicked, you're already in the wrong position. You know what I mean? So, I think that is just a terrible way to referee a game, to decide I'm going to treat this game. I've already refereed this game in my mind before a ball's been kicked. That's a terrible starting point for any game of football.
Is that a Clattenburg problem or is that a referee problem? Because I tend to disagree. I think Clattenburg is a very unique case. He's got an ego. I think Clattenburg, I don't think that most referees referee like that.
I think you're wrong, Jordan, because I look at what happened at City the other day, and I look at those decisions and I think that preconceived notions of he's looked at that. I can't understand how Kane, how Paulson can look at that Kane tackle and think anything other than that's a red card.
But hang on. According to what you're saying,
thinking, oh, it's Harry Kane. He didn't mean that. Whereas if it was some other player, if that was Deeney who made that challenge, he's off.
Yeah, but you're saying reputations are going before these players. If that was the case, Ali would have gone.
Well, not necessarily, mate. Not necessarily. Because I think with Ali as well, Ali is someone who gets away with something and he's just maybe they think, oh, well, you know, he didn't quite mean it. He's a bit of a cheeky chappy, but actually he's not too bad. I mean, you actually think how many times has Ali been sent off, Jordan?
No, not that many.
Well, there you go. Yeah. He's not been sent off that many times. Deeney's got his reputation goes before, and Deeney's a big enough guy. I'm not supporting Deeney, but at the end of the day, his reputation goes before him. And don't forget, you know, you can't compare Deeney to Ali. Deeney's done bird. You know what I mean? Bird. Ali has not been to prison. Ali's, you know, a cheeky guy who's basically done a few dodgy things, died for a few penalties or whatever. But Deeney's got, he's got history. He's got form with the police, all sorts of stuff. So basically, people look at him differently. I think he gets looked differently. I think that he gets judged differently by referees. I do. And I do. I actually think that referees go into games and they've got profiles about him. So basically, the Ali thing is not so much he's got a bit of nasty in him, but everyone knows he has, but more that he's a bit like he goes down for a few penalties looking for decisions all the time. It's not so much that he's going to leave his foot in, you know what I mean? That's what people say about Ali, that he's basically going to go down looking for a penalty. You've got to watch out for that. But, you know, I just think that I do not think that Clattenburg is out on his own in thinking as he does.
Gabriel, is it a slight concern for England going into next year's World Cup that a lot of the makeup and framework of the team is going to be centred around a lot of Spurs players? And quite a lot of the Spurs players are not... Well, I'm just... A lot of the form, you know, Danny Rose is... I don't know what's happening to Danny Rose at the moment. Harry Kane, if Ollie's right, he's not having a poor season, but he's not looking great, doesn't look fit. Dele Alli, we've just said, his form isn't great as well. Yeah. Dyer's playing okay. Is it a concern that a lot of the Spurs players will probably make up the framework of England's team? Or do you think by the time we get to next year, they'll all be fine?
I think form will improve. I think Spurs are going through a dip. I don't think this will be, their whole season.
Mm.
I think what England would probably be more of a concern is that looking at how they're going to play and their tactics, you know, of when England come up against kind of the more fancier teams, sometimes to hurry them and to put a foot in is one of the tactics that's deployed. Now, you saw at West Brom the other week when Gareth Barry put a foot in on Hazard and Hazard got fired up and went and scored.
Same thing
that De Bruyne did yesterday. And I think maybe they might need to think about that because Belgium don't seem to be the soft-centred team anymore that maybe they were in the last tournament.
Yeah.
They actually seem to have a bit of grit to them. So I'd worry about more about that than about Tottenham in particular.
Okay.
I resisted the urge to take a shot there. You know, that's it for me, but I resisted the urge.
I'm just asking questions. All right, guys, let's move on now to... I want to talk about Burnley. Let's discuss them because I think they warrant discussion. I want to know, I'll start with you, Gabriel, why can't they get top six? Give me a reason.
Because there's too much competition, and as the season goes on, I think the cream will rise to the top. And that's no disrespect to Burnley. I think what they're doing at the moment is really good for their stature and their budget and for the way they play. I'm not a big fan of the way they play, but I think every style of play is there should be respected. I think they'll do probably better than they've ever done in the Premier League year this year. Mm. But I just think quality will shine through in the end. All of the big teams have got will think about their budgets when the pressure's on.
Mm.
I think towards the end of the season, that there's too many teams to stop that would stop them from getting into the top four.
Ollie, is top six slightly ambitious for Burnley, or is that something they can, with you know Arsenal being Arsenal, Spurs going for a weird period at the moment, you know, is it inconceivable that they could get that sixth spot?
They're not finishing top six, Jordan. it's not happening. But can I just ask quickly with Gabe? He says that he's not a fan of Burnley's style of play. What sort of play are you a fan of? Bearing in mind you put up with Jose for all those years playing absolutely crap football, but winning football. What's your problem with Burnley? You don't care. Since when have you cared about the style of football? I think honestly,
there's a lot of short memories about Jose. Jose's first season, there was some great counter-attacking football that we played the first two times.
There's been a lot of dross as well.
What I'd say about Jose prior to Man United and maybe towards the end of Chelsea was that he generally did adapt his game to what was best to beat the team. And sometimes that meant attacking. And there are examples of games like when we beat Barcelona 4-2, we put it on Barcelona. It wasn't just parking the bus. But now... Yes, since he's joined Man United and he's aligned with the ethos of that club.
The football you've played down the years at Chelsea has been winning football, not pretty football. Don't give me this garbage that you're all for the beautiful game. You've put up with whatever football will get you a trophy. You've played some absolutely shockingly bad football down the years that is so boring, it's unreal. But anyway, I just find that unbelievable that you can turn and say that Burnley is not your type of football, because basically you'll put up with anything as long as you're winning, mate. There's no philosophy there. But anyway, they're talking about Burnley again. Burnley will not finish in the top six. Burnley are doing great, but Burnley won't finish in the top six basically because they're not. Because they won't be able to see it out for that long, that
so,
time.
So how high can Burnley finish?
Seventh.
Seventh is realistic.
Yeah, why not? Okay, they can finish seventh, definitely.
That's interesting.
But they won't finish in the top six.
Gabriel, out of Everton, Leicester and Watford,
yeah,
who do you think will finish higher?
Everton, Leicester and Watford. That should have been a drive-by. That was a drive-by, wasn't it?
No, I'm going somewhere with this.
I don't know. At the moment, I'll go maybe Leicester, Watford, Everton.
Right. And do you think that Burnley can top Leicester? Top all Leicester?
I think they could, but my money would be on Leicester.
On Leicester. Ollie, out of those three teams, who do you think will finish highest?
What, Leicester, Watford, Everton?
Yeah.
I would probably go... I don't know why, but I've got a funny feeling that Allardyce is going to have a real effect at Everton. I don't know why. I just have a feeling that that's going to be just the right thing for him, because they don't mind all that Dogs of War stuff. They had that, under Joe Royal and stuff. And I think that... I think he could do something there. You know what I mean? People went out. Don't forget when Redknapp went at Spurs, we had very low expectations, and see where he took it. So I don't know. I think Allardyce might have an effect at Everton. I think Everton. You know what are they at the moment? 4 points off of Leicester. I think they could overhaul Leicester. Although I think Leicester have been playing well.
Part
of that is fueled by Mahrez probably thinking to himself he can get a move in January. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So out of Everton and Burnley, do you would back Everton to finish higher?
If you push me, yeah, probably. Yeah. I mean, they could. You know, Burnley could finish seventh, but I've got a funny feeling Everton will keep improving and. You'll see them kind of push forward and maybe finish seventh, above Burnley.
Why didn't Everton or West Ham go in for Sean Dyche?
Probably because his style of football. I know Ollie doesn't like me saying that, but that's what.
West Ham employed David Moyes. He'd never been known for playing attractive football.
Yeah, you made a good point. Maybe there's some money thing towards it as well. Or maybe they did sound him out and Dyche is kind of setting his sights out higher than West Ham. I don't know if I'd go to West Ham now over Burnley, the way things were looking at that time. Mm-hmm. There could be a number of reasons, but I think overall Dyche is not fashionable. I think Dyche would always be seen as kind of a saviour manager. I think he's kind of he might be replacing Pulis in that Allardyce Pulis kind of double act that we have in the Prem, because Pulis seems to be on the way down. And I think clubs with kind of foreign owners or aspirations to kind of be big and glamorous don't go for those type of managers. Although Everton bucked the trend a bit with Allardyce because they were desperate.
Ollie, with Sean Dyche, I kind of get the impression that, I don't know if you've got a theory as to why he wasn't approached or why he didn't leave Burnley for Everton or West Ham. But I've got a theory that I think that, unlike most managers that are managing football clubs, I think he's genuinely happy at Burnley. I think he likes the control he's got there. I think he feels he was backed when they went down. There's a sense of loyalty. And he wants to... When I watch him in interviews and I see him around on TV at Burnley, he seems to actually enjoy managing enjoy his work at Burnley in a way that I think other football managers enjoy managing, as opposed to actually working for the people they work for. Do you have a theory as to why maybe he wasn't approached and why he doesn't look like he will be in the foreseeable future wanting to leave Burnley to make a, inverted commas, step up?
Well, I think that if you believe that, Jordan, then you're more naive than I thought you are. Do you know what I mean? I think that he would, if given half the chance, he'd leave Burnley. There's no two ways.
So first of all, do you think he was approached by Everton and West Ham?
No. Well, I don't know if he was approached, but I think he was sort of, but I don't think he was approached in the end. But then, you know, I do think I can see why that is. I look at it and think, well, you know, he's having this season he's having now with Burnley, but up till this point, he's not done enough to get a job like Everton, and he probably knows that. He probably, you know, he needs to see out this season and see where he can take Burnley and see if he can get them as high as he can. You know, up until this season, it's all been a bit of a struggle, hasn't it? They just managed to stay up last season. The away form wasn't great. But he's proving now this season that he can, you know, he can get a team together, he can organise, you know, and he can punch above his weight. But he needs to continue doing that to really seriously be considered for one of those jobs, like an Everton or even a West Ham, you know, who have got aspirations well beyond what they're capable of. So, you know, I think that he's done a great job. He's doing okay at Burnley, but he needs to do what you talked about earlier. He needs to see if he can get them up to seventh or, you know, or even in the top six. And if he does that, then people might look at him differently. But up until this point, Jordan, I think we're going a bit overboard thinking that he should be considered for the job at Everton or any of these other clubs, because, you know, you've got to look at it and think, well, you know, let's not kind of do down Everton here. Everton are a big club. There's no two ways about that. And they should be looking at getting a manager who's capable and who's ready for the job. And I'm not saying Dyche couldn't do the job, but I would, if I was an Everton fan, I'd be thinking, well, you know, Dyche, really? Do you know what I mean? Mm. At this stage of his career, you know, similarly, if Arsenal were considering Sean Dyche, you'd have serious misgivings about it. So, I don't think, you know, that's not to say that he's not capable. I just don't think that he's done enough yet to be considered a man who could do the Everton job.
Just finally on Dyche G, who would you give manager of the year to if Pep Guardiola wins the league by 12 points or more, or if Sean Dyche got Burnley seventh?
I'd still give it to Pep Guardiola. I think winning is the most important thing. I've never really been onto this glorious loser type thing, and that's
no. But there's levels, surely.
No, but when he gets to the level when he can manage a team like Man City.
No. But yeah. Come on, be fair to him. If he gets Burnley to seventh,
yeah,
is that European football? No, it's top six now, isn't it?
Yeah, but Jordan, I'm always going to give it to a winner. I think at the end of the day, everyone has an equal in the football terms. There's no reason why he couldn't have excelled to Pep Guardiola's level, but he's just not as good. So, and what Pep Guardiola has done this year as well has been quite special in terms of the way they play their football. It's different to what anyone else has played. I think it's changed a lot of attitudes and minds, and maybe even including mine, about the way football could be played in the Premier League. So in that sense, I'd think he'd win anyway. But okay. I'm saying, even if I thought their achievements was equal, I'm still going to give it to the man with a trophy.
Okay. Just briefly, Ollie, if Dyche got six, if he did get top six, who would you give Manager of the Year to then?
Well, I mean, if you're going to go down that road, John, then you might as well say that if Chris Hughton keeps Brighton in the Premier League, that he should get it.
I tell you why. Keeping Brighton in the Premier League is not an extraordinary achievement. Getting Burnley top six is an extraordinary achievement.
Is it?
I think it is. Of course, well, you don't think it can happen. So if he does it, that's surely extraordinary.
Well, I'm not saying it can't happen. I never said it can't happen. I don't think it would happen. But that's just my opinion, Jordan. That's
so
different.
You don't think Burnley finish
that's
in six?
Opinion. My opinion is they won't finish. I didn't say that it can't happen. I said that I don't think it will happen.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't, you know, they could easily, you know, they could finish in top six. Who knows? I mean, it's just my opinion. But, you know, essentially, I don't think it will happen. But if they did finish in the top six, it wouldn't be out of the ordinary. It wouldn't be like, wow, you know, Sean Dash has finished in the top six.
Wow, you lot are harsh, man.
But then similarly, you know, if you spend the kind of money that Pep spent on Manchester City, then, you know, he should be giving us fantasy football and all the rest of it.
Well, that's why I put in the caveat of 15 points.
I don't think it's that amazing that, you know, I mean, it's a bit harsh what Gabe is saying. Oh, well, you know, he's not, Dash can't do what that Pep does. Pep's been, Pep, you see how much money Pep spent in the summer. It's just ridiculous.
I would flip it. Well, do you think Pep Guardiola could do with Burnley what Dyche is doing?
But what is he doing? He's not winning anything.
Well, Burnley have got probably the second, third worst squad in the league. They're what, top six, top seven at the moment?
More to the point, George, would Pep or Mourinho or any of these kind of managers go to a club like Burnley? No, they wouldn't. They all spend their time moaning and going on about, oh God, you know, the way that these teams play. But the point is that, you know, these people would not go to a club like Burnley. They wouldn't do a job there. And the fact is that, you know, you're spending £50 million on a player, poor little Antonio, who can't get enough money for out of the Chelsea ball. my heart bleeds for him. He's got about 50 million players out on loan. It's like if you've got that much problems with your club and your club giving you the money that you think you deserve or you need to get a team out there, well, call your players back off loan and use them instead.
We'll get to Chelsea in a minute.
Why do they do that? All these managers spend their time moaning about what they've got and what they haven't got. You know, Manchester City, Man United, and Chelsea should be about a million miles away from where the rest of them are.
Ollie, it's
a difficult one.
So what would Dyche have to do to win Manager of the Year then? I should have framed the question.
What would
he
have to do?
Yeah.
Well, if he won a cup or something, then, you know, if he won the FA Cup, which is not beyond the realms of possibility, or he won the League Cup or something, which they're out of now. But, you know, if he won the cup, if they finished in the top six and got into the Europa League or something, then yeah, it'd be an achievement, wouldn't it?
Okay.
Be a real achievement. So yeah, if he finished in the top six and got them in Europe, that is an achievement bigger than anything that Pep could do. Because if Pep spends £500 million or whatever they spent in the summer to win the league, then I'm sorry that it's not that much of an achievement, Gabe, for them to win the title. It's not, you know, you can't turn around and say,
they're winning it by a landslide,
Pep's doing a job that Sean Dyche can't do, because at the end of the day, he's spending a lot of bloody money to be where he is.
But if you gave Sean Dyche the money, do you think he would do what Pep done in the way he's doing it? I don't think he would.
With City squad or with Burnley squad?
Even with City squad, I don't think Dyche achieves what Pep does in that way.
I will say this and we'll move on. Pep Guardiola is currently 11 points clear of Manchester United.
Yeah.
I think the league's over, and that's a significant lead. I know you don't. That's a significant lead. He's not 25 points clear of Manchester United.
But who's ever been 25?
He's not doing phenomenal things at City. The football is great, and he's won the league at Christmas. But he's not with the money he's spent. He's not doing anything extraordinary.
That's where I tend to disagree with you. I think in terms of the style of play. And to be, I mean, George, 25 points. Has anyone ever been 25 points clear before Christmas?
I mean, I don't think it's even possible mathematically, but you get my point.
I don't think he could be much further off clear than he is now.
Just say that you know, it's a measure. It really is a measure of the standard of the league as well. And yeah, I'm still not convinced the standard of the league is that great. I look at it and I think, well, you know, Chelsea last season went, what was it, 13 games unbeaten?
Mm.
And basically, you know, from that 13 game run, won them the league. Does that mean that Chelsea are the best team since sliced bread? Or does it mean that the league, you need to seriously question how good the league is? The league wasn't great. Do you know what I mean? The league was not great.
But what I'm saying is
Spurs went close with, you know, towards the end of the season. I think they won, 11 games or something? They went unbeaten. So very close to what Chelsea had done. It was, you know, they went, you know, had a long run of unbeaten games. It can be done. And Man City are doing the same thing this season. Winning. But you look at it and you think, well, you look at Man United. How great are they? They're not. They're not a great side. They're not a good side. I watched them yesterday against West Brom. It's awful
It's poor. Yeah.
You know, Chelsea aren't great. Arsenal have got their deficiencies. Liverpool, for all the goals they score, you look at it and you think, well, actually, they're not a great side. They're not a great side. You know, time and time again, Liverpool keep allowing teams to come back against them. You know, Spurs have got their deficiencies as well. It's not a great league. If Man City go and win the European Cup, right, maybe I'll have to review it. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, right, he did the same thing at Bayern Munich. They went with Bayern Munich, they were winning the league by a country mile every year, right? But then when they went into the Champions League, they couldn't win it. Mm. So, you know, let's see if he goes into the Champions League. Everyone in this country has already given Man City the Champions League and said they're the best team in Europe. Okay, we'll see that. If we're at the end of this season, we're talking about Man City and they've swept the board, they've won the Champions League, as well as winning this league by a country mile, then maybe I'll have to review it and look at it again. But at this moment in time, don't tell me they're the best team in Europe. Don't tell me that they're the best team that anyone's ever seen or that Pep's producing football that, you know, out from another universe. He's playing in the Premier League, and as far as I can see, the Premier League is fucking shit. You know what I mean? It's not good enough. You know, a lot of the teams aren't good enough. You know, so, you know, that's where you're looking at it and thinking, well, actually, let's just rein this in a bit. You know, up until this season, the Premier League sides have done absolutely nothing in Europe for years now. So you can't tell me that this league is brilliant, because it's not.
Okay, let's move on to Chelsea, the current champions of this Premier League. Gabriel, what the hell's going on at Chelsea, man? Because you're the defending champions, you're third in the league. You know, there's all this stuff about Luiz off into Juventus in January. Conte's just seems to be pissed off since he arrived, and he's off in the summer. It just seems to be very disjointed at Chelsea at the moment. What do you make of it all?
You know, it's funny because you sent, and for the viewers who don't know, Jordan sends through the questions before you start to kind of give you a bit of time. And I was quite surprised by this question.
Go on.
Like, I mean, we've won 8 out of 10. David Luiz is injured. And if you
is
see
the injured or are they exaggerating the injury there's beef going on.
David Luiz has been injured and a good young player has come in and replaced him as well. Is that such a big problem? Conte is grumbling, fine. That's in his nature. But I don't think, I mean, the fact is Man City have been brilliant. Chelsea have won 8 out of 10 in the run-up. In a normal season, you run, even if you've lost a couple games early doors, you win 8 out of 10, you're normally back up in the race, kind of. We're third in, I think overall what I would say is we're third in the league, we have the third best squad. I think we had the third best squad probably last season and won the league. We overachieved, or the other teams underachieved, depending on how you want to look at it. But I don't look at us at the moment and see a club in crisis.
No, doesn't seem right at Chelsea.
I'm not going for that. I don't think any more or any less than any other club. I would say something doesn't seem more right at his mob than I would say at Chelsea.
So this whole Conte Luiz thing, you don't see it as an issue? Because I'm hearing there's genuine, you know, Luiz has kicked off. Obviously, he's backing his boy Diego. I even heard some rumours that he was spouting racism and he doesn't like the Brazilian players. William has come out and said that, well, not come out and said, but there's rumours that William feels that, oh, Conte doesn't like us Brazilians. He marginalised us. Who was the left back he had? The left wing back he had for a while. He wasn't very good. He had a left wing back, Brazilian.
What, Felipe Luiz?
No. He's more recent than that. What's his
Kennedy.
name? Yes, Kennedy. There was talk that, you know, he had some issues with the Brazilian players, and they might have been whipping that up to justify backing Diego Costa. But do you know what I mean?
You know what?
Kennedy did make some racist comments in China.
He did.
Yeah, he made. I have to say, Jordan, I mean, I haven't heard this from anyone else, so maybe you have good sources on it. But it sounds like someone making things up. Like I said, Kennedy was never in the team in the first place anyway. And he went out to China, he made those comments, and he hasn't been in the team since.
No, but from what I've been told, that inside the camp, they're saying, not that he's discarded Kennedy, but he's always had an issue with Brazilians generally.
David Luiz had a shocking game away against Roma and hasn't got back in the team since. Whether it's injury or form, he hasn't got back in. And that's the only reason behind it. Willian has been shocking most of the season as well. Terrible. Like, I mean, and yeah, he said the last couple of games he's kind of came out against Huddersfield and he played all right against Southampton, but he's been awful as well. If it wasn't for Willian, we would actually be playing an easier team with the second round rather than playing Barcelona, because if you saw the chance that he missed.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of things where people are trying to cook things up. These things may be happening behind the scene, but at this worst case scenario, if Willian and Luiz and Kennedy left, I wouldn't be crying any tears.
Okay. Batshuayi, what's going on there? Because you spent all this money on Batshuayi. You know, on the weekend against Southampton, both your strikers were on the bench. Mm-hmm. There's clearly something happening there between Conte and Batshuayi, or Conte and the board, and Batshuayi is the pawn.
Ultimately, the truth is that Conte doesn't rate Batshuayi. And you know what? There are good reasons for it. I think he's being a bit harsh at the moment. Maybe he's trying to send a message to the board to get something done in December, in January. Because honestly, if I look at our team, look at the game at Huddersfield, I thought that was made for Batshuayi. Like, I don't think he's not good enough to be a top level striker, but I don't think he's not good enough to play a game away to Huddersfield or home to Southampton. So obviously there's something going on, but clearly Conte doesn't fancy him. And I think just for the benefit of him, something needs to happen with that situation sooner rather than later, because it's going to be no good for his career. Conte will play Batshuayi when almost the football game has stopped, and like if it, like the last minute kind of scramble.
A token.
So like everyone is kind of like the games that he's come, he scored some like important winning goals.
Yes.
But he comes on as the kind of utility striker. So, you know, he'll come on, the other striker's on, or we're not playing, you know, we're not like going all out to win. If we happen to get a goal, if he happens to get a goal, he does. Or he's the extra man. People aren't marking. People are tired. He's never actually seen. I don't think Conte actually has ever integrated him into like the natural structure of the team. And whether that's because he doesn't like him or he doesn't think he's good enough, I think it's more that he doesn't think he's good enough. But I really do hope that that Batshuayi can get a move at some point. Maybe to a club like Tottenham will probably be more his level.
Easy. Ollie, do you buy into this idea that I'm hearing from a lot of people that, you know, this isn't a poor defence of the title from Chelsea. You know, it's just Manchester City are amazing. Man United in any other season will be top of the league. It's just Manchester City are amazing. Or do you think that Chelsea should and could be doing better to at least be closer to City, if not top?
Well, it's a poor title defence. Whatever way you look at it, it's a very poor title defence. They seem to be turning it on when they feel like it. They've had some really good performances. I thought their win at Atletico Madrid was a really good, one of the best performances I've seen in Europe. But then you look at where you know, Atletico's form over the whole piece over this season, and you think, well, actually, it wasn't that great a win. So even that one, you think to yourself, well, where you thought it was a big win for Chelsea, it wasn't such a great win. And then you know, they've had defeats at places like Crystal Palace. They've had a defeat at West Ham. You know, for Gabe to say it's all pretty, you know, it's sunshine and light, it's just ridiculous. You should be going to places like Crystal Palace and winning. You should be going to West Ham and winning. You know, to be the champions and go to those places and lose is pretty poor, I think, whatever way you look at it. And then, you know, the way they got turned over two games against Roma in the Champions League was... it was embarrassing, I thought. The 3-0 at Roma was pretty shocking. For a team of Chelsea's pretensions to go to Roma and get beat 3-0 like that. You know, so I think Gabe needs to look at... I think objectivity and Gabe don't really go well when you're talking about Chelsea, because you cannot look at it objectively and say, yeah, there have been some really shocking performances here, and there's something not quite right.
But Ollie, I don't think anyone has said there hasn't been some bad performances. But
Gabe, you're turning around and saying,
Ollie, how many points?
We've won eight of our last ten games.
But we have, Ollie. That's a fact. Ollie, how many points are we clear with you?
That's got nothing to do with it, Gabe.
Surely,
if Chelsea is as big a club as you think you are in your mind, you're not matching yourself up to Tottenham, are you?
What I'm saying is, I can't see why he's picked us out for having a crisis, particularly, right?
No, I didn't say crisis. I just asked what's going on.
Why have you picked us out for what's going on? I don't see that, because I think you can look further down the table. You can look at Liverpool. You can look at Tottenham. I don't see why you're particularly looking at us in that.
Because Chelsea are the champions, and Chelsea should be challenging for the title, and you're already out of it. That's the reason, Gabe. Listen, we said to you already, right? I've said to you already at the start of this, and quite a few times during this pod. Spurs are not a club who are spending the kind of money that Chelsea and Man United and Man City are, right?
I would say that Chelsea are not the kind of club
that anyone's talking about being in a title race up until they got beat the other week by City. They are the only club anyone's been talking about being in the title race with Man City up until then, right? You've not even been in the shake-up ever since you got beat by Man City, right? 1-0, and that was the most comprehensive 1-0 I've ever seen. Yeah. Ever since you got beat, the fact that you could, before we even got onto the pod, you were laughing about us getting beat. You got absolutely rinsed by them, and that was, I can't believe what I'm hearing.
How can you say a 4-1 defeat was worse?
Hang on. Okay.
Hang on, Ollie, let me finish this, Jordan. You got beat at your own home ground, right? And it was the most comprehensive 1-0 I've seen in my life. It was unbelievable. You got rinsed, Gabe. Absolutely rinsed.
I'm just finishing a point.
For you as champions, right? You are the champions, yeah? You're defending your title, right? You're turning around and saying, "All right, we've won our last eight games, whatever." You're out of it. You're out of it, Gabe. You're out of it. With the money that you spend down there at Chelsea, you should be in the title race every year. And the fact that you're not is an embarrassment, mate. An absolute embarrassment.
I have to completely agree. I think Manchester City's best performance this season was at the Bridge. It finished 1-0, as you said, but I think you got away with murder. That they battered you that day.
But on paper,
their biggest, one of their biggest win against one of their rivals is 4-1. What was the Liverpool score? City, was it 4-1 or 4-0 or 5-0 Liverpool City?
5-0.
Was it 5? Okay. One of their biggest wins was 4-1 Spurs. But as you mentioned there, Spurs are not spending the kind of money. And I agree with Wally that you think the title race is still on. It's not.
But do you think Chelsea are spending the same kind of money that Man City?
What did you say, George? The last bit you said, I missed
that. I was just saying that Gabriel thinks the title race is still on, and I was just saying that it's not. The race. And if it is, Chelsea aren't in it for anybody. But are you serious?
Gabe, are you serious?
Ollie, the title was never over until the season.
Ollie, he's smiling as he's saying that.
But what I'm saying is, do you think that Chelsea spend the same money as Man United and Man City? Because we don't.
Are you asking me? Sorry, throw it to any of you.
Do you think Chelsea...
Well, you don't, but that doesn't mean you should be... How many points are you off City?
What, 11, 14?
Well, no, United are 11. How many points are you off City?
We're 13 points off
City. Right.
Yeah.
So even if the expenditure is more significant at City, it's not 13 points more significant.
Here's my point, Jordan. This has been my point throughout the thing. Everybody in the league should be embarrassed that City are walking it the way they are.
No, I disagree.
Every team who plays City should be embarrassed that they walk it as easy as they are. But what I'm saying is I don't see that Chelsea are more in a trouble series, or what's going on at Chelsea, more than any other team in the league.
Because it's about context, isn't it? It's about context.
No, but then if you put the context, and fair enough, you can't talk about Man United every week. But if you could talk about the context of Man United spend more than us.
Oh, don't
Man
worry.
United, yeah, I'll be. Yeah, yeah.
But we've battered United. Do you know what I mean? So let's give them a week off. Yeah, let's give them a week off. It's your turn this week.
So what I'm saying is, I'm not, and to Ollie's point, because Ollie likes, you know, I know Ollie likes to hype things up for headlines. I'm not saying we play well. I'm not saying we've had a good season. What I'm saying is, I don't understand why we're here talking about this.
Because the only reason I brought it up was because I thought.
You think you'll be on criticism then?
Compared to others, yes. Compared to you, absolutely.
So just so I'm clear, you think it's where you are right now is acceptable?
It's not acceptable. I've said
that's why I'm bringing it up.
I've said every team, I'm saying for you to pick.
So
us
you
out.
So you think Arsenal are underachieving?
Absolutely, they're underachieving.
Really? Why?
Yes, absolutely. They're
why?
George, you said before
with the players we've signed, the money we spend, where we should be.
George, you said before the beginning
we're
of the
top 16.
You said before we got on the pod, the Arsenal standard has been lowered, right?
Yeah. So where should we be?
But that... Okay, so then if you're accepting you're a second-rate club, then fine, you're where you should be.
No. I said we're a top six team. And we're top six. Chelsea are the champions of this country. Okay, you've not spent City money. You've not spent United money. Yeah. But you spent a lot of money. And to be 13 points off the top, I don't think it's acceptable.
Okay, so we've not spent City money and we've not spent United money.
Yep.
And they're the only teams that are in front of us.
Yeah, but you should be closer. You should be closer. You should be 13 points. Yes. The gap. The point.
Gabe, let me ask you something. A Man United better than you?
I'm never going to say that.
Because what you're telling me, what you're saying at the moment,
you're
is
the third
that they
best
are.
Team.
You're not saying what? That they are. You're saying that your position in the league is okay, yeah, and you think that you're doing behind Man United, and you've been behind Man United all season.
What Man United have the second best resources in the league.
I don't care about that. I don't care about that, Gabe. I asked you a question.
Yeah.
Are Man United better than Chelsea as a team? I'm not going to sit here and say City are better than us.
I'm not going to say anyone is better than us.
I'm not asking about resources. I'm not asking about, you know, how much they spent in the summer. I'm asking, are they a better team than you?
It was you guys that brought the how much people spend debate into it.
Are they a better team than you?
No, they're not a better team than us.
Sorry?
No, they're not a better team than us.
So why are they above you?
It's 3 points. We can win next week and be back ahead of them. It's no biggie.
But that hasn't been the case all through the season. There's been the gap's been larger, but they lost a game recently.
The gap tends to be smaller, to be fair.
Why are they being considered as the only viable challengers to Manchester City up until the point they got beat the other day?
I don't think they were, to be honest. No one even considers you as being title challengers.
You have to admit.
Even your manager turned around and said that you were out.
If we lost the other day, the same as Man United.
How on earth do you tell me that is a situation that is right? Because personally, I think you've got a better team than Man United. I actually do think you've got a better team than Man United. You shouldn't be behind them.
Ollie, I am not saying it is right. I've at no point said it's right. What I'm saying is, I can't believe of all the teams in the league that we're being picked on here. That's what I'm saying.
No, you're not being picked on. I was thinking about it over the weekend. I was thinking, hang on a minute. I'm one of many people putting a lot of heat on United for being so far Manchester City.
Deservedly so.
Hang on. And I agree. But then I thought, hang on a minute. We're the champions. The defending champions, once again, are not going to hang on to their title. And not only are you not going to hang on to their title, you're not even guaranteed third. You can't sit here right now and say third is locked off. You're not guaranteed third.
If I can't say City a lot, I'm going to say we're
So if it's champions, the title's gone. You can't even say now George, third is locked off. That's poor.
But George, if you want to say what has happened at Chelsea or what's going on, the truth of the matter is that we've started the season with a worse team than we had last season. Right? And
whose fault was that, George? Whose fault was that, Gabe?
I don't think it's anyone's fault, to be fair. I think Diego Costa...
Oh, really?
It can't be nobody's fault.
It must be somebody's fault.
Diego Costa wanted to go, and he's gone.
But whose fault's that?
Is it... Sometimes people want to go.
Well, even if you wanted to go, could you have not got in an adequate replacement?
I don't think the adequate replacement's out there. If you think,
what's wrong with Morata?
Morata's not as good as Diego Costa. That's right. And that's why we're behind City.
Well, speaking of,
I'm sorry, but that means your club have managed that situation badly. Then,
not necessarily.
Let me get this straight, right? You've got a situation where you've got a striker. I mean, I could have told you that Diego Costa is someone you need to keep on. Diego Costa, he's been integral to you winning the title twice. Yeah. So, if I'm looking at thinking, well, this guy, you know, he might be a pain in the arse or whatever, but we got to keep him on board. A guy has been so desperate to leave, right, that he's prepared to not play for the first half of the season, just get away from Chelsea. That, for me, you've got to look at that and think, someone is to blame there.
I must say, I personally sided with Antonio Conte on that beef. I think that despite Costa being a very integral part of the squad, I mean, we don't know the facts, but from what we do know, I think Costa was at fault and I think he was out of order. I think he tried to undermine the manager and I thought Conte handled it, by and large, the correct way. I think where Chelsea messed up was not finding an adequate replacement.
But what I would say is...
That's where I think they messed up.
What I'd say is, aside from Lukaku, who was also overpriced and also isn't pulling up any trees at Man United either, who would you have said that Chelsea should have went for?
Aubameyang.
Do you think Aubameyang would be that significantly better than Morata?
Well, we'll never know, but the fact is there's strikers in that kind of, I don't know, 60 to 100 million pound bracket that you could have got.
But honestly, well, whatever way you look at it, yeah, whatever way you look at it, I don't think Morata's a bad signing.
No, he's not.
A decent player. But not only that, though, you know, I can't be going down this road of the poor woe is Chelsea, because at the end of the day, how much did you pay for Morata again? Remind me.
It was a lot.
How much?
How much was it?
60 million. Yeah,
that's right. 60 million. Yeah, just checking.
Right. Okay. So you're not one of Europe's poor clubs, are you?
No one's saying that. You've obviously got a problem with our pockets for some reason.
You spent another 40 million on Bakayoko. What's he done this season? Remind me.
But I think as up until the Liverpool game, the criticism of Bakayoko was quite harsh.
No, he's not. Right. He's not.
Did you buy Bakayoko to be third in the league? Yeah, well off the pace at the.
Let me, because Chelsea are very often accused of being short termish, right? So to keep Diego Costa and to keep Matic against their wishes, so we could compete further in the league this year, would have been short termish. I think.
Hang on, Ollie.
In the long run, Bakayoko is actually more suited. Once he gets acclimatized to the league, will be more suited to our style of play than Matic was, and that's why Matic was.
Sorry. What is that style of play? Just tell me. What is that style of play?
A high energy counter attacking team.
What, under Conte?
Under Conte,
he won't be there much longer.
Yeah, but even if he's not there, the team is still based around that style of play. Yeah, the team, the personnel that we have is suited to that, yeah? I think in the long run, Morata will get better as well, but he needs some time. And if we have to go through a season where we finish further, we don't overachieve that we did last season, which was an overachievement, then I'm not wildly concerned about that.
Okay.
Because I think in the long run, we've done the right things. We've got rid of Diego Costa, which we needed to happen. Matic was going. We've invested in a younger player who's not the finished article. But I think by the time he is, will be very good. And it's something that it's funny because no matter what Chelsea do, there will always be a twist on it. Because if we kept Matic until he was 40, then you would say, oh, you know, Chelsea never give a young player a chance or never think of succession planning. We're actually thinking of succession planning this time. And he's still being criticised for it.
What succession plan?
The succession plan is that Bakayoko is a long-term replacement for Matic, even if in the immediacy he hasn't got the experience that he has.
So what does that make it all right to sell him to Man United?
I don't agree with selling him to Man United. I'm looking at our team.
Who does that? What top club does that?
Are you a top club? Because you've done it a few times.
Well, no, we weren't a top club when we done it. That's why we did it.
Trust me,
we didn't have a choice.
Ollie, you'll never be a top club, and at some point, you'll do it again.
Well, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you, mate. Not as long as Levy's there, and especially when we go into the new stadium, we'll have no reason to go and say, you know, the point of this pod, right? Tell me if I'm wrong, George. The point of this pod is to come on and be objective and to talk about stuff and be sensible. You're not being sensible, Gabe. You're talking absolute garbage. You know, the fact that we had to sell Carrick, we had to sell Berbatov. We were nowhere in that. We weren't in the picture in terms of, we weren't even finishing in the top four. How on earth can you talk sensibly about Spurs being on the level with Man United when they were winning titles under Ferguson and a player gets told, oh right, you know, Man United.
Ollie, did anyone say you were on the level?
That's not sensible.
Did anyone say you were on the level, Ollie, did anyone say you were on the level?
Listen, you just said,
Gabe. I asked that you were top club.
We will go back to selling players to Man United. We're not that club anymore.
No, you will go back to, at some point you will sell your best players. At some point Dele Alli will go.
That's not what you just said.
No, that's what I said. At some point you will go back to selling your players. At some point, someone will come and take Dele Alli from you.
I'll be glad if they will. I'll tell you what, I'll drive him there.
harsh.
I don't have a problem with that. If he wants to go, he can go tomorrow. I don't care. I always said to you about Dele Alli. None of you listened, but I told you about him. Anyway, the point is, yeah, for you to turn around and say, well, you know, Chelsea, we, you know, and again, Gabe, it's like... I can't believe how you kid yourself about Chelsea. Did you seriously just say a minute ago that Chelsea winning the league was an overachievement?
Last season
it
was.
Say that.
It was an overachievement.
Let me get it straight. This is the same Chelsea, right? We spent a shitload of money on players, yeah?
Ollie, this is the same Chelsea that finished 10th the season before.
Sorry.
It was an overachievement, Ollie.
We won the title, yeah? And then pissed it up the wall the following season because they couldn't be bothered to play. And then they sacked their manager who won them the title. And then suddenly when they got a new manager, they decided they wanted to play again. And that's an overachievement. Those same players who won the title two years previous suddenly decided they wanted to play again.
Ollie, let me tell you why it's an overachievement. Yeah,
I can't wait to hear, Gabe.
We people always say, depending on how much you spend and what your wage bill is usually depends on where you finish in the league, right? Chelsea that season had the third highest wage bill and they finished first. Therefore, they have maybe you could say City or United underachieved. But they exceeded what they should, but based on how much and how much they spent. Because you always talk about how much team played.
So hang on, Ollie. Let me ask you, Ollie. Let me ask you then. Last season, who do you think should have won the league?
Who do I think should have won it?
Yeah.
Well, Chelsea were in a position. Let's not forget history and context.
Ollie, answer the question,
Chelsea,
man.
Chelsea were a club who had won the title the year previous to Leicester winning it, right?
Yeah.
They still had a good team. They weren't shit, were they?
But no one's saying that, Ollie.
They were a team who had good players who just decided for a season they didn't want to play anymore.
But no one's saying that, Ollie.
They didn't want to play for Mourinho. Whatever the reason was that they decided when the season... Listen, there's no reason that if Chelsea really hadn't had down tools, Chelsea really could have been a club who won the title for the last 3 years. Yes or no?
They could have.
Look at it a different way.
No, but
Leicester had no right winning the title.
They didn't.
Never won
but,
the title.
But Ollie, Ollie, I'm asking you. But Ollie,
because,
Ollie,
because
I'm,
none of the other teams got their shit together.
But Ollie,
so for Gabe to be telling me about some ridiculous overachievement for a team who should have won the title for the last 3 years, but basically couldn't be bothered for 1 year, right? That is just ridiculous. That is a man who is just kidding himself. It's embarrassing.
Who do you think had the best squad manager combo of the big three last year?
Well, clearly Chelsea, because they won it.
No. I'm talking at the start of the season, going into last season. Who would you have said should win the league this year?
I can't remember who I said should win the league.
But you're blasting
Chelsea
Gabriel for saying
Chelsea still had the best team and the best squad. But the point is,
but I think that's arguable.
Not to play.
I think that's arguable.
And then when they decided to play and get their shit together, they won the league. What a surprise.
Ollie, we did not have the best team in the best squad last
I think it's arguable if they had the best team in the league.
Who did have the best team?
I think it's arguable that City and United had better teams than Chelsea. I'm not saying
they didn't.
I don't think...
United are a mess. United are all over the place.
I don't think it's as clean cut as you...
That was the first season of Jose, right?
Yeah.
First season of Pep.
And Conte. Right?
So essentially, yeah, but Conte had a team there that were who had been through it and knew what it took to win the league. Pep was coming into a team who basically needed surgery, which is what he did over the summer. He basically had a season to look over what he's got and then to bring in some new recruits and to get rid of the old the dead wood he's got there. He was still playing with people like Zabaleta and Clichy. Come on, man. Look at it seriously. And you look at Man United as well. Man United, they bought in Pogba and this one and that one. But at the end of the day, Man United is still a bit of a mess from the Van Gaal years.
No, they ended, they ended up being a mess. They ended up being a mess. Who were the favourites to win the league at the beginning of last year?
I know that Jordan had picked out Man United as his favourite.
No, but who would you say?
Listen, the media loved the Manchester story, so the media always saying it's all about the Manchester clubs because the media loved the Manchester story. That doesn't mean that they're the favourites, Gabe. If you want to get led along like a fucking dog by the media, then that's your.
Ollie, what I would say is, if you look at it,
Chelsea had the squad and the team who had been there and done it and knew what it took to win the league.
Ollie, final way to ask you this question, because it seems if you're refusing to answer it. Last season, at the beginning of last season, who would you say most people would have predicted would have won the league last season, or give the order in top three?
Gabe, you're not actually. I just said this a minute ago. I just explained it a minute ago. If you didn't hear it,
forget the media, Ollie.
Manchester clubs were the clubs that everyone was talking about. Ollie, forget the media. Everyone loves that story.
Okay, so Ollie. I didn't predict United because the media predicted the Manchester clubs. I predicted United because I looked on it and I thought of the three clubs. United have a manager who's not only won the Premier League, but won it more. But hang on.
You said that you thought Mourinho would come in.
He'll be the difference. So I don't think it's an outrageous for anybody to suggest that Manchester United were favourites and should have come first last season. I don't think it's outrageous for people to say that Manchester City, with the talent they have and the winning manager that's coming in, Pep Guardiola, should win the Premier League. So for you to say that Gabriel saying Chelsea were overachievers. I wouldn't use the word overachieving. I don't think they overachieved. But at the same time, I don't think you can conclusively say that Chelsea were the team that should have won the league. I don't think that's right.
I think you can argue a case for all three. For anyone to tell me that Chelsea overachieved,
that's just
embarrassing.
I wouldn't use that word.
You're telling me that the team who really went into the season that Leicester won the league as, you know, everyone thinking they're miles ahead of anyone else.
I don't think anyone thought that. They had the same players there.
So I don't see how they suddenly became crap overnight because they had one bad season when Mourinho, they all decided they didn't want to play for Mourinho anymore.
But Ollie, I did not say that Chelsea should have won it.
I said that to say that Chelsea overachieved is ridiculous. That's what I said.
Yeah, I would agree
and
with
I
that.
I just find that a ridiculous statement because if you're telling me that Chelsea, a club who spend as much money as Chelsea, who pay the wages that Chelsea do, can ever overachieve, that's ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous.
You need to
check yourself. If you're seriously telling me that, Leicester overachieved. Yeah, Spurs finishing twice in the top four is overachieving. Chelsea winning the league is not overachieving.
Just to wrap it up, finally on Tottenham, Ollie, how do you fancy your chances against Juventus?
I think that it's tough because most Italian teams, you know, they're streetwise, aren't they? So. And the thing is that Tottenham's success this season has come from playing counter to what they how they normally play. They sit deep and, you know, let the other team attack, and they've hit them on the break. You against an Italian team, it's going to be hard to do that, because then it's going to be who blinks first, because the Italians know how to play that better than anyone else. So, you know, the Italians won't be afraid. For instance, if they have a 0-0, if they had a 0-0 at Juventus Stadium, they won't have any problem with that. And a 0-0 will be a good result for them. So it's going to be tough. I think that, you know, Spurs, I think Spurs can do it, but I think it's going to be tough, because whereas you know that Real Madrid and Dortmund are going to come at you, Juventus probably won't. Juventus will say, well, we'll wait for you, and it will be after you, no, after you. And it might be a really dull first leg, but I fear a 0-0 result in the first leg, because then if they can come to our place and it's like, well, we only need to sit deep here and wait for an opportunity and hit on the break, then that's their game. The Italians will love that. And, you know, Juventus are, as I say, Juventus are streetwise. So I wouldn't like to say which way it's going to go. I'm not saying Spurs are out of it. I'm not saying Juve are going to win, because they've had problems this season themselves. They haven't been playing as well as they normally do. So, you know, Spurs are with a chance, but then obviously Spurs are going to have to be playing a lot better than they are at the moment to have any chance of beating a team as successful as this Juve side. So it's difficult. It's difficult to say at this moment, because anything can happen in the next month and a half before those games come round. Mm. That's the beauty of the Champions League. It's, you know, is the fact that whoever's playing well in November and December, no, doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be playing well come February and March. So, yeah, it's hard to say really, but yeah, they've got a chance, Spurs. But slightly, you would probably say, because of their pedigree, that Juve are probably the favourites.
All right, let's get into our 12th man feature. And to do so, let's bring in our regular Arsenal fan, but also qualified referee, Mike. What do you say, Mike?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Can't complain.
Good, good, good. So let's go through just a few of the decisions that were made over the weekend, and I want to get your opinion on them. Let's start with the West Ham Stoke game, where Lanzini has, we've just found out in the last couple of hours, been charged with diving. The panel has deemed that he dived for the penalty that he won and subsequently Noble scored from. Did you, on first glance of this, understand why the referee gave it? Or do you think it was a wrong decision in the first place?
I would say the player wasn't helping himself by sticking out a leg, firstly. Also, it's in a blind spot, which is the right fullback. The Lionel can't see it, and it's tough for the ref to see it as well. Considering the weather and the speed and everything like that, it is difficult to see, but it was definitely a dive.
Yeah. There was a really interesting debate on Match of the Day 2 last night. It was the first time Philip Neville said anything vaguely interesting, and I thought it was a really good point. they were talking about the rule, and Philip Neville's point was that this rule now, where you can be retrospectively banned by this three-man panel, he doesn't think it's a good idea, and I tend to agree with him. What do you think, first of all, of this rule that you can, you know, if a team benefits from another team diving, sorry, if a team can benefit from one of their players diving, it can be looked at and referred, and it could be subsequently banned. Do you think this is a good idea?
I can see both points to it. I mean, on one side, it's like, what's the point in banning the player? We've already conceded a goal. The worst has already happened, you know. So what's the point in banning him after the game?
Mm.
But on the flip side, if you're trying to stamp out diving, and you know that even if you do dive and it's missed in the game, that there's still a chance that you might get banned afterwards, that might help stamp out diving.
But wouldn't the argument there be that players are thinking it's worth the gamble of going down, winning the penalty, getting a point or getting 3 points? If the risk is that I might miss the next two games, meh, I deal with that then. I need to get my team 3 points now. So it's.
I mean, for me, I feel like it's pointless. I mean, I feel if the referee is not able to see it in real-time play, and this is where the whole VAR system, you know, comes into play. Eventually, we're going to get in the Premiership.
Premier League.
Premier League. And eventually it's got to come, and that's where it will be helpful. But right now, I feel like it's a bit pointless, personally.
Okay, let's move to the Etihad, the City-Tottenham game. The Otamendi, let's start with the Otamendi, the tackle or the foul that was given. He kicked the guy in the face. A lot of Liverpool fans have been texting me and tweeting me saying, oh, you see, when Sadio Mane had his high foot, he got a red. Did the referee give the right decision in giving a yellow card to Otamendi?
I think it was the wrong decision. Dangerous play.
Okay.
Quite simply, he should have gone.
Do you find it weird that he? It's not like he didn't give anything because he didn't see it. He clearly saw it because he gave a yellow card. Why would he have given a yellow card if he saw it and he clearly did?
Mainly because the player didn't stoop his head down.
What did
With the Edison tackle, the player stooped his head down. Edison put his head down.
Okay.
And Mane's foot connected with it, so instantly that's. You know, there's different levels of dangerous play. But ultimately, it should have just been a straight red.
Okay. In the same game, we agree that myself and Gabriel, that the Kane and Ali tackles were both reds. Do you agree they were both straight red cards?
Yes.
Why do you think...
Ali, similar with Pogba. Reckless challenge. He's left the ground. He's gone into the player. Straight red for me. Similar with the Kane one as well. I'm not sure how he's given the yellow. That should have been a straight red. And I feel like, you know, it's times like this where I always say that referees need to be held accountable. You know, what are you thinking? Why are you giving the yellow card? What was your thought process during that decision? Did you not think it was a red? What are you taking into consideration? And I feel like until things like that happen, there's a lot of players harbouring, and supporters as well, harbouring harsh feelings to referees because they're not able to hear what the ref is thinking.
Okay.
And 9 times out of 10, you might hear what the ref is thinking and be like, oh, okay, I understand. Now I know why you're giving them. You know what I mean? And I feel like until that starts happening, we're always going to be players, supporters against referees or so on and so forth.
And just finally, the other game, Watford lost at home to Huddersfield. I think it was 4-1 in the end. There was, I think, two incidents in that game. Doucouré, the penalty. Doucouré. Was that a penalty for you?
Yes.
It was a penalty for you?
Yes, 100%.
It wasn't harsh?
No.
You fouled him?
No. I mean, I don't get the term harsh penalty.
No, I agree. I don't know why I said that.
It's either a penalty or it's not.
Yeah, you're right. And there was a red card as well. Was Deeney? Is it Troy Deeney was sent off in that game?
Yeah, ridiculous challenge. He wasn't going anywhere. There was no need. I think he lost the ball. And frustration got the best of him. And he's gone round the back of him and he's slid in. It's definitely a red.
And just finally, Mike, I think it was in that same game. There was an incident, if it was that game actually, it was a Huddersfield goal where a Watford player was clutching his face. I think it was a cross came in and he was clutching his face. I think he hurt himself. He went down holding his head or holding his face and the phase of play continued and Huddersfield scored a goal. What is the ruling regarding, obviously, head injuries? The referee is supposed to stop play. But then, isn't there a concern then that any time a player feels like a goal's about to be scored, he might just go down holding his face? At what point do you have to stop the game?
There's so many things to take into consideration. You've got to look at how the head injury occurred. You know, was it a clash of heads? Was it an elbow? Was it, you know, there's so many things you take into consideration.
So how that clash happened is relevant. Whether it was okay, it's not a straight rule. If it's a head injury,
If I give you a sliding challenge and then you go down and you're holding your face, I'm not going to stop play.
Okay.
Because I know you're trying to be clever.
Okay.
You know, but if I see you've gone for a clash of heads or someone's come up with their elbow or you've run into a post or anything damaging or life threatening potentially, then I'm going to stop play and I'm going to say, look, head injury.
Okay, okay. I find that interesting. I just thought, you know, what is the, you know, what is the ruling on head injuries? Is it black and white? If a man's holding his head or holding his face, you have to stop the game. Or as you've explained,
the rule states that it's down to the referee.
Okay.
That if there's a head injury, you stop play. No matter where it is, what's happening, you stop play. Player safety comes before anything.
Mm. Okay, okay, interesting. Yeah. Listen, Mike, cheers for coming on the pod, man. Nice one.
No worries, man.
All right, take it easy. Peace. So that concludes this week's Football Fans Podcast. Thank you very much, Gabriel, for coming in on this
no problem, man.
Pod of the calendar year. We won't be doing any more pods until the new year. We're back the second Monday of January. So hope everyone has a very, very good Christmas and a safe new year. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. I know a lot of you guys already have. If you haven't, share the pod and tell your friends on Football Fans Podcast. We're on iTunes and Spotify. Follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, and we're on Twitter, FFP_11. Till next year, peace. We'll be right back.